day without outward fears. May thy grace be so grafted inwardly in our hearts that they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and praise of thy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. We often expect certain things from a certain type of literature. And I'll give a couple of examples, all of them out of a newspaper. We expect, for instance, comic strips to be funny. We expect editorials in the newspaper to be expressing an opinion or viewpoint on some aspect of government policy or of culture. And we expect a work of history to be just that, to present an objective and true history. And we get frustrated when these differing types of literature don't measure up to their very purpose. Perhaps we have the same expectations of different types of literature within Scripture. For instance, so far in the book of Isaiah, as a prophet of the Lord, we have heard much about foretelling the coming of Christ, and also preaching a message of repentance. And while it is true that the prophets mainly proclaim these two themes, the coming of Christ and of a message of repentance, they did more than just these two themes. So in Isaiah 12, our reading for today, we have a psalm of thanksgiving to God. After Isaiah has foretold the grandeur of the Messiah and his coming kingdom, he gives praise and thanks to the Lord for his mercy. And so I ask the question, why we should give thanks to God? Well, the first reason we give thanks to God is we give thanks to God for saving us. Isaiah 12, 1 and 2 says this, "Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord my God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation." As the well-known hymn Amazing Grace says, "I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see." When I was growing up, on the door of my sister's bedroom was this message, "I am eternally grateful to Jesus." One of the ways I try to apply this truth to my life is that I take an opportunity each and every day to give thanks to Christ for rescuing me and saving me from my sins. I strive to make this time of thanksgiving a daily habit and discipline. I also strive to give thanks to the Lord for something good that happened in that day. It may be as simple as thanking God for a good night's rest, or a peaceful neighborhood, or a good church in which to labor. In my mind, as long as I mean it, it doesn't matter if I'm thanking God for the same types of things day by day. I try to make it a daily habit. Let us reflect on the acts of God in history to save us. The Old Testament believers in many psalms call to their remembrance God bringing his people out of Egypt and the Red Sea deliverance. They also remember God revealing himself on Mount Sinai in the giving of the Ten Commandments. God also provided for his people through the 40 years of wilderness wanderings by giving them manna each day and guiding them through their travels with a cloud by day and fire by night. The Lord also overcame their enemies through battle as they entered the promised land. Jesus brought in the new covenant as he lived a perfect life of righteousness, died on the cross, and rose again on the third day, conquering sin and death. These cluster of blessings of salvation that God acted in our behalf are recalled to memory time and time again. And I don't think we should grow old or consider that stale bread. That's fresh bread that we need to thank God for each and every day. And so it's a discipline. Yes, it's a discipline. But we need to thank God for both past blessings and present blessings. And so in a sense, I'm using our general Thanksgiving as kind of a rough outline. I'm going to continue to thank God for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace, and for the hope of glory. I'm also going to thank God for creating us and preserving us from the beginning of our lives to this day. But I'm also going to thank God for those individual special things that He's done for us today. Sometimes I don't think, and perhaps I can use the royal we travel thousands of miles every year. Do we thank God that we arrived there safely? Or do we just take it for granted? As if the mile and a half stretch between my house and this church is just taken for granted, I'll get there safely. Until you get into an accident, then you realize it's not just automatic. You're going to go everywhere safely. We need to thank God for both the common blessings of our salvation and the ways in which He's been merciful and gracious to us today. And that's what Isaiah is pausing to do here. We need to thank God that He has revealed Himself to us. Christianity is not man's thoughts about God, but God revealing Himself to us in the person and work of His Son for our salvation. We need to remember God's saving word and acts in history that He has made known to us. He has made known His saving truth and His redeeming love. The key idea in this first point is that redemption should result in praise to God for His goodness and mercy. The next two points I will make do not really answer the question why we should thank God, but further clarify how and to whom we should tell of God's goodness and His mercy. So my second point is that we should give thanks to God with joy. Isaiah 12, verses 3 and 4 say this, "Therefore you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. And in that day you will say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name.'" Isaiah uses the figure of water to picture the spiritual refreshment of God's salvation. And it's for that reason we need to not just give thanks to God, but give thanks to God with joy in our hearts. Water is so refreshing to someone who is dry and parched. It's been a very positive emphasis in recent years about the importance of keeping yourself hydrated, especially when you're engaged in physical exercise, and the popularity of water bottles. That wasn't always so. I can remember driving my bicycle for 10, 20 miles at a shot. Did I ever take water with me? Nope. How foolish that was, and how appreciative at the end of that trip I was to get myself and have some water. As the people of God traveled during their 40 years of wilderness wanderings, early on in their journey, they complained to Moses about this very thing, the lack of water. In fact, they complained so loudly and so strongly that Moses had struck the rock, and from it, water gushed out. The Apostle Paul comments on this very incident in history of the children of Israel in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4, which he says, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ." Throughout Scripture, our salvation is pictured as God's refreshing and cleansing water, which nourishes our souls in forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us internally from the wellsprings of God's mercy and love. Jesus said of himself to the Samaritan woman in John 4:14, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." Because salvation is by God's grace, our thanksgiving should reflect this joy of the Lord. If we truly know God's grace and mercy, that it is undeserved on our part, then we need to be joyful because God's grace is greater than all our sin. The Westminster Catechism in its first question asks this: what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to enjoy, glorify God and to enjoy him forever. To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. There's that word, joy. Derek Thomas says in his commentary on this passage, it was part of God's plan from the beginning that we should know joy. Sin spoiled it, salvation restored it. Let us be sure that we cultivate God's gift of joy as we reflect on the beautiful mercy of God in saving us. Let us rejoice and be glad and give all the glory to him. St. Augustine, a bishop in North Africa in the 5th century, in his book Confession, says this: "You are great, O Lord, and greatly to be praised. You have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." Apart from God, we are restless, but when we rest in God, when we are at peace with God through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, we have the freedom to praise God with joyful thanksgiving and a grateful heart that we have been touched by the God of all grace. The third and last point speaks to whom we should speak about God and his mercy. And it is that we should share our thanksgiving for God's mercy with the people that we know. Isaiah 12:4-6 say this: "Make known his deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that his name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for he has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel." God's greatness ought to be told throughout the world. Since God so loved the world, his church should tell of God's greatness to all the world. Edward J. Young says in his commentary, "When men enjoy the blessings of salvation, they must make known the glories of the redeeming and pardoning God. When heart overflows with the bounties of the Lord, the tongue speaks forth his praises." And so it is God's will from the beginning. He gave this commission to Israel to make known the glories of the Lord throughout all the earth. Now Israel didn't bow too well on that commission, but Jesus repeats this same idea. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations. And so the mission of God to his people is to let his praises be known in all the earth. In our New Testament lesson in Matthew 15:21-28, we hear of a woman coming to Jesus who was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite woman. And she cried out to the Lord to have mercy on her demon-possessed daughter. At first, Jesus ignored her. And his disciples kind of act or try to act as an intermediary. "Lord, send her away. She's bothering us. She's a nuisance." His disciples were great at doing that. "Just get him away. Get her away." Well, this woman was a Gentile, but she had a humble and bold faith. And after seemingly being insulted by the Lord, who said that he came only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, She responds back, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs get the scraps, the leftovers from the table. Lord, I'm praying for leftovers, but please give me leftovers." She didn't know it at the time, but our Lord was graciously testing her faith as he said to her, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." And yet, when she persisted in this statement of faith, this plea, our Lord then commended this woman by saying, "O woman, your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed at once. This woman was a recipient of Christ's love, mercy, and blessing because God was gracious to her, a Gentile. And so John's theme throughout his gospel is that God's love is for the whole world. It's not just for the house of Israel, it's for the Gentiles as well. And so Isaiah, in a sense, in this Thanksgiving, is foreshadowing that very mission. God's people spreading forth the praises of the Lord to the whole earth, to the Gentiles as well. Along with this woman, all of us being Gentiles, confess that we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. God has mercy on the world through Jesus Christ. And so he is ready, poised, and sent his Son that not only Jews, but all who call upon the name of the Lord may be saved. This plan of God to redeem people from all over the world is seen in Isaiah's thanksgiving, for it speaks of giving thanks to God and telling it to the nations. We are glad that the nations, at least the elect in the nations, heard and believed, and God's people continue to believe in the good news of Jesus Christ, not because we searched God out and found him, but he loved us first and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God takes the initiative in knowing us and loving us and saving us. So let us praise him. Let us praise him joyfully, and let his name be glorified to those that we know and love. As we have read before, that the name of the Lord may be known even as the waters cover the earth. Let us pray. O Lord Almighty, we give you humble praise and thanks for your mercy, which you have poured out on your people. Your grace is extended even as the sun shines on the just and the unjust. Help us by your Holy Spirit to give you thanks and praise, and to make this a holy and consistent habit each and every day. This we ask through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.